Open your Bibles to John chapter 4 with me. John chapter 4. I want to talk this morning in the time that we have left from a passage of Scripture that just caught my attention over a little bit of time. And John 4 verse 23. Let me read it to you. And the title of my message is Worship Him in Spirit and in Truth. Worship Him in Spirit and in Truth. All right, so John 4, verse 23, this is the NLT. But the time is coming and is already here when true worshippers, do we have any true worshippers in the house? When true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for anyone who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So I want to talk a little bit about this subject this morning and kick it off with our culture. Our culture as a church is set by the things that you and I value. Who valued their time this morning in praise and worship? We're going to do a little bit more of that before we finish today, because you can't talk about a subject like this and not get enthused about who God is. Well, I'm excited about that anyway. So values in church are those things that you and I agree are important. The more we agree together on these things, the more unified that we become. Our unification creates momentum. Jesus is not speaking about a theory to the Samaritan woman for the verses I've just read, which seems a little bit strange in some ways, because he's talking to this lady and suddenly he pipes up in the middle of his conversation with this Samaritan woman about worshiping in spirit and in truth. I'll get to this a little bit more. And, you know, just as we as his disciples should not simply agree in theory alone in the Bible. Rather, we are to live out our lives through behaviours and practices that prove that we have a relationship with the living God. Someone give me an amen. And so, culture is set by doing things, not talking about things. Culture is set by what? Not talking about things. And so let me give you a few things that I think that we value in our church. We value unchurched people. We value people that do not know Christ. We want to see them come to Christ. Amen? Thank you, Barry, for what you've been doing the past number of weeks in doing the altar calls. We value being led where we haven't been before. We may not like it. We may scream and shout a little bit or get dragged along, not wanting, but when we get there, we thank God because we've gone to a whole nother level in faith. That's what we're doing with C3 Wellard. That's what we do with Leap into Spring every year. That's what I love about all our different cultures, because if it wasn't for our cultures, we wouldn't have such an impacting Leap into Spring. And so we value the less fortunate around our globe. Amen? And so it's difficult to refute multiple variety and incredible amount of passages on helping the poor. We value the presence of God. Does anyone value the presence of God this morning? We value the variety of cultures in church. Oh, I think that deserves a hand right there. Thank you for all the different cultures, Lord, that you've given us. Someone from the Indian nation, give me a wave. Budgie, your family's here. Someone from Australia, give me a wave. Quite a few today. All right. Who else we got here this morning? Got Malaysians? A few? What else we got? Any English, any Filipinos around? Any Poms? A couple of Poms? Fantastic. All right, all these different cultures. We have set a culture of generosity. First for his house and then for others. We value community through connect groups and church meetings and events and port care. We value all these different areas that we can be involved in community. And so Jesus says to this Samaritan woman, the first time he's had a conversation with her, true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The actual words of Jesus. Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman at a well. He's tired. He's been there for just to rest. And this Samaritan woman comes to draw water from the well for her family, for the village. And she's a bit awestruck because Jews don't talk to Samaritans. See, there's no prejudice with Jesus whatsoever. Jesus talks to anyone. Jesus speaks to whoever. And one of the greatest things that worship him in spirit. Would anyone like to worship Jesus in spirit a little bit more today? When we worship Jesus in spirit, we must take on the same spirit as Jesus. And so they're having this great conversation. I'm not going to get involved in the whole story. You can look it up for yourselves if you like in John 4 there. But the first thing I want to say is, and my first point is, align your spirit with his. Align your spirit with? All right, so just a little question. On this story alone, do you think that Jesus placed a high value on those who were not the same as him? A few of you. Let me just ask that question one more time. I want to make sure everyone's awake this morning. Do you think that Jesus placed a high value on those who were not the same as him? See, Jesus not only talked about his kingdom with others, he behaved in such a manner that brought the kingdom to them without prejudice on his part. He enjoyed the perspective others had. He enjoyed their opinions. He didn't necessarily have to agree with them, but he did enjoy interact. Who would like to interact a little bit more than those that are a little bit different than you? And so through the power of the Holy Spirit within him, and in this case, he brought the woman to the everlasting flowing stream of life that came from within him. Jesus has set for us a culture of soul winning. Turn to your neighbor and say, those who win souls are wise. That's a proverb, 11:4. Those who win souls are? I was asked to officiate a wedding before I had my little bit of leave in June by the son of some long-term friends of Andrew and I who live way up north from here, Joondalup. Oh, I'm glad you laugh at me. Anyway, so I agreed to do the wedding because of our long-term friendship with a couple that are about our age. But I was a little bit miffed as to why the young fella, I think he's 21, asked me that he hadn't seen for a number of years, although we were just acquaintances as such, But we used to go on holidays together, so he knew me from the past, but not in the last 5-6 years that well. And his fiancée and himself, we're doing the pre-rehearsal. I had to go all the way to Joondalup twice before the wedding. Anyway, get into the house, and we're a little bit early. Some of the bridesmaids hadn't turned up for the rehearsal, and so we're sitting around just waiting for them to come. And I got chatting to the couple. They were about to be married, and they both said, "Actually, Nigel," something like this. Anyway, "we thought you'd be a better fit, as one side of our family are not Christians at all." And I thought, does that mean I don't act like a Christian? I thought, well, whatever, I'm excited now. High five for Nige, you know? But I'm kind of like, as soon as she said that, because it's her side of the family, as soon as she said that, I was like, I'm excited to do this wedding now. Because now I've got this opportunity to speak to, can we put our phones on silent, please? I've got this opportunity to speak to this side of the family who are really not sure about this Christian guy doing the wedding. And it suddenly made sense to me. They weren't sure, but they knew that Nigel, well, at least he was sort of normal. At least he's not going to use lots of religious language and bore them to death. At least he's going to relate to them on a level that they're going to understand. Come on. I have become, Paul says, Corinthians 9, I have become all things to... What is it? Should be there. I've become all things to all men in order to win some. Our message never changes, but the envelope in which we present it will change regularly because we don't want to miss an opportunity. That's why we don't mind that people wear jeans and t-shirts on stage. There is levels. We want people to present well, but do you hear what I'm saying? We don't want to lose a whole generation of young people, do we? John 4:39. All right, before I get off track, stay with it, Nigel. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman, all right, Jesus has spoken to a woman at a well, had said, "He told me everything I ever did." Exclamation mark, right? That means it's important. Next, when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many of them to hear his message and believe. I'll come back to that. When you really, I've got to say this before we go on. When you really believe, hello, I'm Nigel. Emily, nice to meet you. Good to see you smiling on the front next to Amber. All right. Thank you, son. If you really believe, you will be a worshiper. Come on. If you really are a believer, you will worship him in spirit and in. Have a listen to this. I found this quite recent. Global Christian Mission, August 2014. In the dense jungles of the Amazon, there are still a couple of tribes that haven't had the gospel. However, let me read to you what happened here. One day, a man named Napi came to see the Long Arrow people. Napi was a follower of Jesus and a church leader among the Wanawa people. Now, I don't know how many kilometres it was from this other village, but obviously this village, the Wanawa people, knew something about Jesus. Listen, so when Marcus tearfully cried out to him for aid, Napi sat to talk with him. He asked if Marcos had consulted the wooden idol that represented the Long Arrow tribal god. Marcus told Napi the truth. He had, but nothing had come of it. Napi knew the power of God he served, so he spoke again to Marcos. He told him that the Wanawa people would pray for him and that God would heal him. With those words, he left Marcos. That night, as Marcus slept, he dreamed. A man appeared who lifted him from darkness into a place of light. Just beyond the light, a jaguar paced menacingly in the dark shadows. The man told the chief, "The jaguar wants to kill and devour you, but I won't let him. You have been going down the wrong path in life. Now you must listen and obey me." When Marcus awoke, he was completely healed. Along with the Long Arrow leaders, Marcus travelled to the Wanawa village to tell his story to the people who had prayed for his healing. But before he left to visit the Wanawa, he stood and told his own tribesmen, "Now I know the Wanawa's God is true, and I'm going to travel to their village to hear more about their God." Marcus has since become a believer in the Lord Jesus, and he is not alone in the Long Arrow tribe. He, along with others, have come forward to recognize as a believer, be recognized as believers, and they are baptized in the one true God. Can anyone testify to the goodness of God? Let me bring this home to our own family here. Louis and Juliet, who I believe are in Canada, were our first Filipino couple in our church. They were promised permanent residency by their employers, who later reneged, not wanting to front the costs involved when it came to crunch time. Pastor Andrea was devastated. And although Louis and Juliet did need to return to the Philippines for a year, Andrea was working hard on their behalf, setting up the correct meetings with the correct government officials here in Australia. 12 months later, Louis and Juliet returned to Australia, and this time they stayed permanently, and now they are Australian residents because Andrea not only believed in the theory of the Lord Jesus Christ, she behaved like Jesus and rectified an injustice. I'm telling you that this is the kind of love that we need to get for our people. Now, Andrea would hate me if she knew I was telling this story this morning because it's not her. But sometimes you've just got to give some glory where it's due. You know, you and I cannot call ourselves believers unless we worship him. And if we worship him, it means something. When we worship Jesus, there's an enthusiastic love for others. And we become conduits for God's blessing in other people's lives. I didn't tell you about what else happened at the wedding. And, you know, I got to meet the family and I think they loved me. They seemed to come up and talk to me more so than the Christians did. So I thought that was great. The other thing that happened was that Andrew and I were able to form a relationship with another couple that actually run another business in the northern suburbs. And they want to hang out with us more often. They don't know the Lord. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and how you're working behind the scenes to make things work when we make ourselves available. And so I'm saying all these things for this reason. This is really the heart of Leap into Spring too. We've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit of Jesus working through you and I, locally and internationally, makes an enormous difference in people's lives. You may never go to Liberia. Any Liberians in the house this morning? These guys? More at Wellard. Pastor Barry was saying to me just the other day that they had a huge baptismal service up in Liberia on the beach recently, which we started years ago. Pastor Charlie was there, I think. A few of the other guys. Remember that? They're still doing that. And they're getting more and more people baptized. That is, do you hear what I'm saying here? We're worshipping God here. We're giving generously, leaping spring, and people are coming to Christ on the other side of the world. John 4:14. Jesus is talking to this Samaritan woman who doesn't know a lot about God, the one true God. But the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life. And so you and I have a choice. We can be superficial. There's no superficial people at C3 Fremantle, is there? We can say the right things. We can know how religion works. And that's what Jesus was communicating to the woman at the well. And you can take this water, but you're going to be thirsty again real soon because it's coming to you from without, from outside. And some of you need to stop complaining about your situation. Some of you need to stop feeling hard done to, stop thinking it's not fair, and simply worship God because that's where your strength is going to come from. The spiritual life Christ gives us, that is struck out of the very depths of our being. It comes from a wellspring of life within us that is created when we accept Jesus as Lord of our life, and through the ongoing relationship with him, we start to worship God, we start to praise his name, we start to forget about our problems and focus on him, and suddenly things turn around. Your behavior remains toward God no matter. No matter. And so secondly, I'll be short on this. Worship in his truth. You might as well turn to your neighbor and say, worship in his truth. Worship in his truth. You know, Marcos, the chief of his village, the guy that saw the jaguar in his dream, but realized he needed Christ. Here he is in the depths of the Amazon jungle. He was trying to plug in to the wrong socket. Romans 12:1, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. And when you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Who's grateful for their salvation? I plead with you, Paul saying, to give your bodies to God. You know, maybe yoga's been your meditation go-to place. Maybe you've tried some other kind of peaceful meditation. Maybe you can think you can escape somehow or just keep traveling around the world and hope that your life just gets better. We all have our ways of thinking about what's the true meaning of life, but it doesn't quite have the same effect as a relationship with the living God. And when you find your God plug, when you find your God plug, boom, suddenly it's all good. You can see a way forward. You know, this last 6 weeks, I've got to tell you honestly, sometimes I didn't feel like giving God anything. I was like sort of down like a fish out of water. But one thing I did every day, I'd say, I love you, Jesus. maybe you can't get too much out. Maybe you've been exhausted like me, but I'll tell you what, you can still get a few words out and say, Lord, you're worth it. See, we're talking about worshipping Jesus in spirit and in truth. And Jesus finishes up with a Samaritan woman and she returns to her village. And many Samaritans in 39 from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. And in verse 40 and 41, when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay at their village. Who thinks that's impacting? They begged him. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many of them to hear his message. And when they believed, what were they doing? They were worshipping him. They had not only, we know for a fact that, see, in this, the word here, believe, is the same as worship. When you and I believe, and it's not simply a theory, when we believe and it's not mixed up with other stuff in our lives, crowding out the one true God. Oh, I've got this work to do. I've got that to do. I've got to pick up the kids from that. I've got to do this. And we can completely crowd out. And yet God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth and see the breakthroughs that are, he knows we've got to do life. He knows it. And the people say in this village, verse 42, he is indeed the saviour of the world. Music team, come up, please. He is indeed the saviour of the world. Now, this is a significant thing. His spirit transformed the village from the inside out. He is indeed the saviour of the world. Does anyone really believe that this morning? He is indeed the Saviour of the world. Jesus has come to his own people and they've kind of rejected him. He goes to these people that he's not culturally supposed to speak to and they embrace him. And Jesus has shown us a pattern of worship that affects our behaviour and practices. He is indeed the Saviour of the world. He means everything to us, is what they were saying. Maybe today you're looking for peace from outside in. We're going to spend some time worshipping God before we finish this morning. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. If this happens, I know that I'll be okay. If I just get that, I know everything's going to be all right. If I can find the perfect person, if God's got an answer for it all, worship him in spirit and in truth and watch the purpose of your life move into the areas that God has planned for you. Every time we praise and worship God, we are reconnecting with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus left his disciples 2 commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, spirit. And the second, love your neighbour as yourself. That's behaviour and practice right there. That's culture of a Christian. Can we stand to our feet, church? Why don't I just give you a little Bible story? And we're going to start worshiping God. And if you're in this category where you've tried from outside and you're recognizing today, and I really sense, like when I was praying about this, there's people that are trying to do it the wrong way around. Let go, let God in. Allow the Lord to become the Saviour. Lord, you are indeed the Saviour of the world. You know how much I believe in this, and that worship in spirit and truth actually means something, because the Bible gives us another passage of Scripture. And in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, you can start praising the Lord if you like right here, right now, while I'm still speaking, that's fine. You know, and there's this passage of Scripture, Thank you, Lord, for your power right here, right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to move across this congregation. Why don't you start raising your hands? Believe, if you worship in spirit and truth, you've got to behave like it. We need to behave like this every Sunday. We need to raise our hands. We need to be involved. We need our bodies to be actually activated toward God. This is what the Bible is teaching us this morning. And you know, Paul and Silas are locked away for unjustly in a prison. They're away. They're locked up. They weren't complaining. They started praising him. They started worshiping him. They started lifting up the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know what they sung, but it was probably something like, I thank you, Lord, or whatever it was. That they were just praising Jesus for all they've got. They were probably out of key. It didn't matter. And God turned up and opened all the doors. A great earthquake happened. And the end result of them worshiping God was not only did they get set free, but they set free an entire household, the jailer's household, and they come to know Christ. So, Lord, we thank you today for who you are. We want to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Lead us, Jared.